Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and the Longhorn Wealth Management Group. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Guys, tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. We love to see that. And let's start with the weekend. I mean, obviously a huge weekend for the Longhorns in many, many different ways, but we'll go with the scrimmage, number one. What were y'all's takeaways, and what are you hearing?
I heard the quarterbacks had a good day. I heard the defense actually did better than the offense at times. But look, I mean, the biggest thing, and Jerry knows this, and I think we all agree, it's a zero-sum game. When the defense does well, that means the offense isn't doing well, and vice versa. So the biggest takeaways, when you can't actually see them yourselves, I think, are the injuries. We talked about this literally last week, Jerry. DJ Campbell, apparently on Saturday, came off with one of his shoulders wrapped in ice. We don't know more than that at this point, guys, but it's something to consider. Then there's been a couple of other injuries. Aaron Butler did not participate on Saturday as well. So we're monitoring that and seeing what's going on with the young freshman. But look, long story short, they lit it up pretty good. I was told, Blake and Jerry, that it was the most physical practice of spring ball to this point. So we'll see exactly where this goes from here. They now have five more practices, and then the spring game, actually. So they're going to practice number 10, I believe, on Tuesday.
Yeah. Speaking with some people, Colin Simmons obviously had a couple of sacks Saturday. And Colin is that ultimate gamer, right? You know, that's kind of a lights come on situation, time to go get the quarterback. And Colin Simmons was, he was born to be a twitchy guy that goes after the quarterback. Trey Wisner had a really good day. I was told by multiple people, running backs in general. One of the things I was told was the running back group, room, whatever you want to call it as a whole, has been very impressive to multiple high school coaches that have been attending practice. And one of those, a couple of those were on Saturday at the scrimmage. So the running back room as a whole is very impressive right now. Offensive line as well, physicality. Look, Texas isn't five deep. They're not six deep. They're not seven deep. They're a good, solid eight deep on the offensive line. And I think Texas is pleased with the physicality of this offensive line.
All right, y'all. And you're talking about just a few practices left before the spring game. Before we get into the next part of that, we have a question here from Brendan. He says, do we know if there's a certain format for the spring game? Have you heard that yet, Bobby?
No, and I don't know that Sark, other than that first year when he didn't have enough offensive linemen, I don't know that Sark is like quirky about his spring game rules. I think he's just, let's go line it up, call it orange and white. I don't care. But let's go out there and execute. And so I don't think he really tries to sit there and create a game out of it. He tries to create game-like situations, but not necessarily a true game out of it. So it'll be 1v1s, 1v2s, 2v1s, and then they'll segue in the latter part of the second quarter into some 3s versus 3s. But as far as points and all that stuff, I just don't know that Sark cares about that kind of stuff.
Hey, by the way, I'm seeing, this is great where everybody's checking in from. It's awesome. I'm seeing more countries right now than I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
So Carolyn Jacobson from Germany. Good morning. Yeah, that's very cool. Juju Juice. Yes. Samaje Burrell had a sling on his right shoulder, I believe.
There's another one. And so that's another piece that we're talking about with the injuries that they kind of rack up at this time of year.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not overwhelming. To our knowledge, it's only one starter right now, and that's DJ Campbell. So keep that in mind.
But practices started getting more physical last Friday. That was the first one we heard about. It was live, right? So Friday, this week, headed into a very physical scrimmage on Saturday. It was a short scrimmage, not a long scrimmage. But, yeah, the physicality keeps ramping up here as the spring goes on.
All right. And then the other thing that we need to talk about is a big weekend, as we said, for a number of reasons. But Texas landed a commitment. And, Jerry, I'm going to play the video here in a second. But first, can you tell folks about that commitment?
Yeah, Ricky Stewart, Chapel Hill, Tyler Chapel Hill over in East Texas. I mean, the video is just so cool. I think we all had a feeling this one might happen. We didn't know the win necessarily, but Ricky Stewart committed during the scrimmage or after the scrimmage there before the team left the field on Saturday. He came down with his mom, who was decked out in Texas gear. He's just a kid that's living out his dream. It's so cool. You know, look, the dream school starts coming home when you start winning. Amazing how that happens, right, guys? So Ricky Stewart commits to his dream school, and he's a slasher. He's a slasher, and the one thing I'll say is the constant from high school coaches in East Texas when I've made my rounds through there, and this is coaches that played against them or just had watched them on tape with a common opponent and then scouted a game in person. They all said he's faster in a game than he appears on film. It's a really good sign for a running back.
And I will play that video real quick, fellas. Let me remove that. And if I can get it to go here. Here we go.
All right, on Texas football, here with Ricky Stewart, Chapel Hill running back. You got a little news today.
Yeah, I committed today doing a practice.
It's going to be a great year.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
What does it feel like to be a Texas Longhorn?
Felt great, special, man. Special place. My dream school, really. School I always wanted to go to for the longest. just exciting.
Come on.
Hey, Mom.
Yay!
Congrats to you, Ricky.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, you can tell he's genuinely excited there.
That's real emotion. Like, right? You know, that's one of the rare instances in recruiting where you get to see on video the rare emotion right after a kid commits. Normally it's a, you know, an edit or an announcement on social media. Ricky's not that kid. So having that real emotion, that was so cool for fans, Texas fans, to get to see kind of a kid's reaction when just minutes after he committed. I mean, he had just come down from the practice field by the indoor or the bubble back over to Moncrief. That was right out in front of Moncrief as he was walking back to the facility. That's real emotion. Him and his mom, right minutes after he committed to Sarkisian and Choice. Pretty cool.
Hey, Jerry, I got a chance to talk to Rod Babers last night on the live stream about it. And, you know, Rod had a similar situation in that he, you know, parents really pro Texas and excited about the situation, et cetera. You know, he's got it right. He's like, look, Mom told me where I was going before I even knew where I was going.
Exactly.
It felt like Ricky was influenced there a little bit, in a good way, obviously. But I'm very happy. To your point, there's nothing like watching something like that happen in real time. Kind of makes you feel good a little bit.
Yeah, and somebody asked about him as a player. So I'll say one more thing on Ricky as a player. Right. I think here's the thing. He's a slasher a little bit. But he will run with physicality in between the tackles. I mean, name a run East Texas running back that hasn't. He's a tough kid. You have to be a tough kid to take as many carries as he's already taken in high school. I mean, he's going to end his high school career if he stays healthy next year. He's going to be a 1,000-carry guy in high school. You have to have some toughness because Chapel Hill plays a schedule now. You're playing Kilgore a couple of times a year counting the playoffs. I mean, you just kind of go through their schedule. They're playing a healthy schedule with physical football players and speed in East Texas. And he's a tough kid. He will run in between the tackles. And he has a feel for when to drop his pads. But again, when he gets out in space, he is faster than you think on video. And that's the takeaway from every coach that went up against him. And those were teams that have either won state or went deep into the playoffs that said that when I went through East Texas a few weeks ago.
Blake Jester says, what comparison for Ricky do you have? I loved his film, but it wasn't real sure who he reminded me of.
I need to think about that. I don't know if anybody just pops on mind immediately.
Somebody mentioned Ramontz Taylor yesterday. I'm not sure he's that kind of a suddenness that Ramontz had or that type of athlete, but he certainly has that upright running style.
Yeah.
Ramontz had. So.
Before we move on and talk more recruiting, Bobby, first, can you tell folks out there about John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management?
Yeah, thank you to our sponsor, John Donovan, President, Longhorn Wealth Management, proud Texas Exes Life member. April is National Financial Literacy Month, and John wants to encourage all of the On Texas Football family to take advantage of the free resources available through the Financial Planning Association and Certified Financial Planners Nationwide. to help educate you and your families on all aspects of financial planning and risk management. John's a certified financial planner, has spent more than 15 years teaching continuing education courses to adults at local colleges and to employees at local corporations about financial matters. He would welcome the opportunity to be a resource to provide that education to all of you, as he has dedicated his firm to serving his fellow UT alums, all UT employees and fans, as well as their family and friends. Take advantage of John's more than 30 years of applying his CFP fiduciary responsibilities to both educate and serve his clients in the areas of investment planning. Give John and the Longhorn Wealth Team a call, 972-707-4900, or visit longhornwealth.net for your free 90-minute consultation to explore how John and his team can help you save, you and your family, save and achieve true financial independence and security. John says, hook them, guys.
And obviously, a bit more recruiting, right, from this weekend, Blake. Yes. Big recruiting weekend. Look, I think Texas is doing well with a lot of the guys that came in. Elijah Barnes was one of the guys that stayed over until Sunday morning, met with Sark Sunday morning, as did the Corey Moore. There's Sark and Elijah Barnes on Sunday morning before leaving Austin. I'm not sure you can find much better photo than that on a Sunday morning if you love recruiting, right? But DeCorey Moore stayed over Saturday night. John Mills stayed over Saturday night. 2026 quarterback Torrey Hune was a multi-day visit as well. I think that one could be trending for Texas. So we'll see how soon Troy does something. I think things are moving in a positive direction with a lot of guys. I think they had a great weekend. Look, Jonah Williams being on campus again. So he wasn't at the January 20 junior day. If you're going to get back into this one, and on TexasFootball.com, I just put out some percentages on some guys after the weekend. And, you know, I have Corey and Moore a little over 50 for Texas right now. I'll say that. And we'll see what happens. These recruitments still have to play out. And I think Texas is doing well with a lot of these guys. Cade Phillips, having Jonah Williams back on campus was big. I got a Texas morning. They haven't locked in an official visit date yet. That's the next thing we're looking for with Jonah Williams. He's in Oklahoma lean, has been. But he got a lot of attention from Blake Gideon, Steve Sarkisian Saturday. His mom and dad were there. So we'll see where that goes. Obviously, families were with the majority of kids on campus. Kalik Lockett, both parents were there. You go down the list on these visits. I think Jordan and Devin Coleman from Cedar Hill, I think Texas is doing well with those guys. I think they're doing well with John Mills, the offensive lineman out of San Francisco. I mean, I could go down the list. Jamie French getting on campus with family members for multiple days was big, because – I always start at zero is your chances until a kid hits campus for the first time. Then we adjust from there. And the fact that Texas has got that official visit date, they already had it set up, but now it's just definitely happening and locked in, barring a major change in his recruitment. Jamie told CJ Vogel that Texas is in the top three now with Ohio State and Tennessee, and there's still work to be done for Texas, but they're actually in the game now. And a guy that didn't get any run Saturday, because he wasn't there Saturday, was Myron Charles, the defensive tackle from Port Charlotte, one of the top D linemen in the country, who's considered a Florida State lean over Miami and then Florida. Right now he has official visits set all three. He was on campus Friday, first time ever to visit Texas. He was there with the 7-on-7 team out of the Sunshine State. I think that Texas is very close to getting an official visit locked in there. So if I was placing a percentage on that one, I would move that from 0 to 25 or 30. You're in the game now with Myron Charles, and they may juggle an official visit date so he can get on campus June 14th through 16th. We'll see. I think FSU is the team to beat right now, but Texas is getting themselves in the game for guys. I think they had a great weekend, a day with Zion Williams. Zion and his brother, a younger brother, came down, one of the coaches from Lufkin. I think that was the first time a lot of these D linemen have sat down with Kenny Baker and sat in a meeting room, a position meeting room, or in a room together with Sark and Kenny Baker and had a discussion. And I think that's very valuable for Kenny Baker. And I think one of the things Zion, we'll have more on that on TexasFootball.com later today, but Zion, I think, really liked what he heard and saw from Kenny Baker on Saturday. And I still think that's going to be – it's a fun battle for Texas fans. Not to say A&M can't win it or TCU. I do think he's going to play in the SEC. But, man, it looks like Texas LSU on this one. He's going to be at LSU this weekend. He'll make official visits to both. I've mentioned before, Zion's girlfriend's gonna is currently right now headed to LSU for college. Does that do I think that is going to be the end all in this recruitment? I do not, actually. I think it helps LSU, but I think Zion's going to make an independent decision here. But I think Texas and LSU are going to battle. There is a lot of positives coming out of the weekend, as there should be. Texas was a Big 12 champion, a college football playoff team. They're about to have 10 guys drafted. They're setting records at the combine. They're moving to the SEC. They're ranked top five. I'm done. That's enough. Recruiting should be, Jerry,
this is what Henry James BC is saying. We only got one commitment. Should Sarkisian resign? Here's the reality. To Jerry's point, guys, and we were talking about this over the weekend and yesterday in particular. Jerry and I had a conversation off camera. Everybody that Texas wanted, they got in for the most part. Some people are having to come at different times and all this stuff, whether it's the 6th or the 13th. But they're moving in the right direction with all of these guys. Is there one, Jerry, that you think right now they're moving in the wrong direction? That's to my point, and what Henry James was obviously being facetious there. The point being that Texas is moving in the right direction with all of these recruits. It could be Aiden Anding and Cade Phillips at DB. I mean, you mix the group together, and all of them, I think, they're just moving in the right direction. And they're not trying to domino right now. Ricky Stewart, to your point, was one of those guys that was ready to make it happen. They're not pushing these guys to commit right now.
No, and you have to understand the recruiting process. If you're trying to force some of these guys, you know where you stand, is I guess what I'm saying is. The NIL world is different. It's hard to push guys into making commitments. I mean, some people are getting very aggressive through the NIL earlier. I do believe that. Head west. But look, keeping those guys, when you get them committed too early, keeping those guys, it can be tough. I mean, so there's a lot of kids that have committed. They're still taking their visits. So what's it worth? Get through the process and let those guys commit and understand where each guy's at, because some of these guys' recruitment is different. But I would say this, if Texas, this doesn't mean they're going to get everybody. You don't get everybody. Nick didn't get everybody. Kirby doesn't get everybody. Dabo at his height wasn't getting everybody. You're not going to get everybody. But what I am saying with Texas is where they're at in the process now, if they fall off for a guy, a lot of times right now, it's because they aren't really truly pushing that guy. There were over 22 dozen prospects on campus Saturday. All those guys can't commit to Texas right now. That's just the reality. So if Texas falls off with some of those guys in April or May, it's because they aren't making the same push that some other schools are. Kids aren't dumb. They get it. Parents aren't dumb. They understand the process. So I think that's kind of Texas has to turn down guys right now. That's a good position to be in.
Good stuff, Jerry. Right. And we got a couple of other sports that we need to talk about too, because Jerry, everybody is wanting you to comment on Coach Cal moving over to Arkansas, including Antoine here. And then he says, what do you think of that? And also, what do you think of South Carolina winning the national championship?
I thought somebody was going to ask about Tavondre Sweat. I don't want to have to, I'm sure y'all dealt with that last night. So here's what I think on that. I think, one, it saved Kentucky $33 million if they fired him. So, I mean, I don't know if they send Arkansas a donation to Arkansas's NIL for helping them save $33 million or not. I think it's good for all parties, Cal included. The biggest thing, I'll tell you guys this right now. From what I was told, Arkansas is going to be blue blood NIL money in basketball. They didn't make this. They are not paying him $7.5-8 million a year, and not going 5-6 in NIL per year. So Calipari has weaponized an NIL at Arkansas. You don't make this hire without being a blue blood NIL as well. So he's going to have a great chance. He's got to adapt to college basketball to me. It's not a young sport anymore. You have to have an element of that. You have to have player development still, but you can't go too heavy freshman in college basketball anymore. It's just too tough. Your odds are so much lower. South Carolina, man, unbelievable. Anytime you go undefeated in a college sport, to me, That especially in basketball. I mean, that's a 38. I think it was 38 or 38, 9 and 0. 38 and 0. And just imagine winning 38 games in a row. I mean, Gino Auriemma made it look easy for a few times, but I mean, 38 and 0 is an incredible season, especially after they lost four or five starters off of last year's team. I mean, great season by South Carolina. Good on Caitlin Clark for, I bet the numbers, we'll get the ratings today. But the crazy thing was that national semifinal game was higher than the men's national championship game last year in TV ratings. Yesterday is going to be even higher. I mean, that's
hey, here's the issue, Jerry. It's more compelling TV. College basketball has been men's college basketball has been watered down by the G League, by overtime elite, et cetera, by guys moving on after 1 year. Correct. Name somebody that has a four-year starter in college basketball. Well, Iowa does in women's basketball. You know, and then setting all kinds of records over a period of time, you get a chance to get to know her. That's part of the issue with here. It's not so much that the women's game is improved, which it has. You actually get – there's some consistency to it. It's not one and done and out the door. You get to know Caitlin Clark as an Iowa Hawkeye as opposed to, you know, these one-and-done men's basketball players that end up making a lot of money in the NBA. I'm not begrudging it. It's just a difference in the sport right now lends itself more to women's basketball because I think that people can clutch on to different things there. They're going to see – next year, you're going to see Madison Booker and Rory Harmon at Texas again.
Hey, and by the way, smart on Fox, too. They saw some coaches say she's generational talent, whatever you want to call. She's female Steph Curry playing basketball is what she is, the reality. So Fox saw an opportunity there and said, whoa, this is a little different now. 56,000 people at a college basketball game, kind of like Nebraska did for a volleyball game in a football stadium. Fox looked at that and said, ooh, we have an opportunity here. Good on them for realizing what a great opportunity that was. And them televising her games nationally this year helped broaden that reach. So Fox did their job. And Caitlin Clark did her job. Women's basketball did their job promoting and all being on Team Caitlin Clark for the betterment of the game, even though they all want to beat her, right? And then Fox really stepped up. When Gus Johnson's calling multiple Caitlin Clark in Iowa games, Fox stepped up to the plate and helped expand that as well.
Yeah, I want to add this. Congrats to Dawn Staley, the South Carolina coach. Replaced all of her starters and then went 39-0.
Yeah.
From a national championship team. I mean, ridiculous, right? Hey, talking about women's sports, Texas softball, women's softball team defeated OU. In a series 2-1. They actually won 2-1 the last two games, actually. And what was interesting about this is the first time OU has lost a series in the Big 12 since 2011, I believe. So they have been a juggernaut of all juggernauts, kind of like, you know, Texas and women's swimming and men's swimming and diving, right? They just never got beat in the Big 12. That's how OU was, and Texas took it to them. So congrats to the Longhorns there and what they're doing. Jerry mentioned Tavondre Sweat. We do want to say this. We have no further information other than he was picked up on driving while intoxicated, booked. He is out on bail, we believe, waiting next motions. But just from immediate issues, we are hearing that it will affect his draft stock negatively, which is no surprise. It's unfortunate because Tavondre's a jovial kid, all that other stuff, but you can't drink and drive, fellas. We all know that. And I think that if he has to learn that at age 21, when nobody gets hurt, that's a good thing. I mean, ultimately, it will hopefully be a good thing for him to have to deal with it, even if it hurts him as it relates to his draft stock.
And we have a super chat that I want to read real quick from James McDaniel. Then we'll get to the other super chats here shortly. But James says, I'm an OTF OG. Hook on. Thank you, James, for the super chat and for being an OTF OG. But Bobby, tell folks in on what an OTF OG is.
Yeah, absolutely. So long story short, we started our premium service today on the website on texasfootball.com. Jerry started off with what was really a great piece of talking about his percentages of what he thinks recruits will do. So please join us there. It is only $5.95 a month or $59.95 a year. But the whole idea here is if you want to be an OTF OG, we give you $20 off for the year. And just use coupon code OTFOG, and you can sign up. We'll have comments. I had a piece on the Saturday practice this morning as well. CJ Vogel will chime in. We'll do some chats, all that kind of stuff. Please join us and support us, OTF on Texas Football, and then use code OTFOG at ontexasfootball.com.
Hey, one more big important piece of recruiting information that I need to mention ahead of time. Fasusi. Five-star offensive tackle, Michael Fasusi from Louisville. He will visit tomorrow with multiple family members. So, Michael Fasusi visiting Texas tomorrow. A lot of one-on-one time with Sarkisian, Kyle Flood, and the whole offensive staff and Texas team.
Hey, Jerry, I forgot to mention the other offensive tackle that was in, Lamont Rogers. He actually took – his mom actually, I'm told, went and met with one of the deans at the business school. So keep that in mind. I think she's looking out for his best interest
And look, that was noteworthy because they were scheduled to go to LSU early last week. Lamont told me he was visiting LSU then Thursday. That changed to Texas, and him and his mom made the trip to Texas instead. So good sign there for Texas with Lamont Rogers, a guy that Texas really likes, obviously, one of the top 3-4 tackles on the board.
Okay, guys, we're going to get more in-depth in that here in just a second. But first, let's talk about Gooder, one of our newer sponsors here. As Jerry gets on the shades, what you got, Jerry?
Hamilton? Look, I got to start this read off by some awesome information. So I had these on a little bit Saturday. Not enough. I got my eyes sunburned. That's why you need Gooder. But, look, I had my Gooders on, and I had a couple people walk up to me during the big visit weekend on Saturday and say, hey, I've heard of these. I was like, yeah, Gooder, you need to go get you pair. No doubt about it. So when they're getting noticed in public, when they see that Gooder, that's a good sign. These stylish sunnies are starting at only $25 a pair. No slip, no bounce, all polarized and all fun. Pop art for your face. You make it fashion. No slip, no bounce, all polarized and all angles, made for medium-sized noggins. Leonard Davis, you're out. That's all I got to say. Leonard's out. Biggest football helmet I've ever seen. They're 100% polarized and only $25 because they're so affordable, I never have to worry about losing or breaking them because I guarantee I've done both and we'll do both again. But not with these. They're always releasing new colors and collabs so you can get – so you can lay low or get wild. I personally love the names of the glasses. Back Nine Blackout, Flamingos on a Booze Cruise. There you go. Donkey Goggles, great for running, cycling, working out, golfing, going to the beach, hiking, or just chilling. If you want to support the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving On Texas Football listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/OnTexas, all caps. Use that code On Texas, all caps, for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, which you will not need, and 100% satisfaction, which you will get. Again, that's gooder.com/OnTexas, all caps, for free shipping.
All right. We want to thank them for sponsoring today. And we're going to go back to that offensive tackle recruiting here for a moment, guys. Michael says, good morning. Is it safe to say Lamont Rogers and Michael Fasusi are Texas' two top offensive tackle targets?
Well, I think Fasusi is obviously the number one guy on the board. Look, Jordan Coleman's a swing tackle guy. Jordan Coleman's a very talented, large human, can be a right tackle, can be a guard. So I think there's multiple guys they're on the board. Tyler Thomas, another one of those swing guys, right? He was on campus. John Mills, interior guy. Devin Coleman, interior guys, of the guys that were on campus. But look, yeah, there's some wild cards out here in this class. Now, Nick Brooks from Iowa, from Cedar Rapids, JFK High School, he's visiting for the spring game April 20th, official visit June 14th through 16th. There's a wild card for you because he's from Iowa. I don't know the last time Texas got an offensive line from Iowa, but if your guess is never, you could be correct on that one. And then you have Josh Petty out of the Roswell, Georgia, the Atlanta area, was in March 22nd. Him and the family are looking to get coming back for a visit. There's some connections there in Big Lake, San Angelo, and the family. I think that's a tougher one. Tennessee, Georgia, I think, are clearly teams to beat in that one right now. But, again, he had a great visit, and they're looking at scheduling official visit. I mean, it's kind of how Brandon Baker's recruitment went with one of those two guys. So we'll see what happens, though. I think Texas has – they're going to have 12 official visitors, I think, when it's all said and done on the offensive line.
Wow. All right. We got a couple other super chats that we need to read. We're going to, I actually did this one the show opening, but didn't
get you got to read after that. You got to read Christine Anderson's comment on Gooder, but go ahead.
All right. Jack says Rod needs some diapers. Thank you, Jack, for the super chat. We appreciate that. And then Christine says Gooder has a collegiate collection with their super cute pair of Longhorn sunglasses.
And somebody also asked if I'm wearing these for the eclipse. I'm going to try. But isn't it going to be cloudy?
Yeah, I know that's the problem. I mean, if it's cloudy today, what's what are you going to get out of it? But look, hopefully the clouds will part and everybody will get to see the eclipse today. Just look, my son's being told not to look up at the sky during school, and I'm like, he's going to be inside the building. Are you talking about him looking out the window?
I know in Texas, even in the Houston area, my kid they're doing like. They're kind of like a fire drill. They're taking everybody outside in formation from like 1 to 145 when it's supposed to be at its peak. Somebody also commented they saw Quinn in Fredericksburg yesterday. I can confirm that. I actually ran into Quinn Saturday, and he said he was going over to Fredericksburg yesterday for their music fest. So pretty cool. And, yeah, you can tell. Quinn's definitely putting on some muscle. Looks good physically.
We have another super chat from football.
Go ahead. Sorry, Paul had one of the funnier questions of all time on here. Okay, comments, but go ahead.
Yeah, that is a good one. We'll get to that in a second. Football Junkie says, hey, guys, how's the offense doing as far as turnovers so far this spring? I haven't heard much, or maybe is the defense not causing any?
So from Saturday's scrimmage, I was told the only turnover all scrimmage long did not come from any of the quarterbacks. It actually came from Cedric Baxter in a fumble. And now Baxter's had a great spring by all accounts. I've been told he's been more decisive, more physical, and literally just a better player overall right now and kind of growing and developing. But he was apparently the only one that had a turnover on Saturday. Look, Quinn has been more judicious with the ball. So it's not just about the DBs not being as, it's not about the DBs not making plays as much as it is a quarterback that's now got 3 years experience running the same plays against the same defense, right? I mean, if this was a true freshman quarterback out there, Trey Owens, and you're talking about that during a heated scrimmage and you don't have two or three picks, then I might worry. But given that it's Quinn at the helm, I do not think that that's necessarily an indicator or a predictor of how Texas will be on defense and whether or not they're able to get some interceptions this year. By the way, Jerry was talking about Colin Simmons earlier and how good he was playing and how well he got some mention or got some run. I'm just told that Trey Moore is potentially going to change the defense a little bit. Texas has not had a pass rusher like him in at least 5 years. Okay. That's what I was told. Pete Kwiatkowski has not had one since he's been at Texas, okay, just for clarity. So of all the things I'm hearing out of spring ball, the most promising may be Trey Moore right now for me. I'm out of everything, whether that's Quinn being a third-year starter. I mean, I kind of expected that, or Ryan Wingo being a little bit of a revelation at times. That's great news, right? But the thing that I think could really change the season for Texas is if Trey Moore is a factor of change or a force multiplier, as Rod Babers likes to call him on defense. That could change the outlook of Texas's season. Really could.
All right. This next one here is going to be from living rent-free in UT. He says, Jerry, is there any news on Malik Autry, or has that ship sailed? We've actually had a few questions on him this morning.
Yeah, he's actually rescheduled to be in this weekend. But look, he originally was scheduled to be in last weekend. We'll see if he shows up this weekend, April 13th. If he does, we'll see if an official visit happens. Again, if I was putting all the guys in a line or on a list of who is most likely, the least likely from out of state, a defensive lineman from Opelika. I mean, in the NIL day and age, is that one's tough. Now that Nick, especially that Nick's retired, I mean, whew, Hugh Freeze. I mean, not that you can't lose one to Alabama, but golly, I mean, they lost a lot. That one's going to be tough. Now, he's still going to take visits. He was at Florida, I think, that a couple of weeks ago. He's scheduled to be out at USC and Oregon. The visits will continue. The flip is another thing with Malik Autry, and he's a tremendous talent. And if you're Texas, you go after him. You have nothing to lose. But right now, we'll see if he shows up this weekend, April 13th, on campus. Somebody asked about Christian Clark. Somebody mentioned Christian Clark to me Saturday. It's just his movement skills at running back. And this is somebody that watched the scrimmage. His movement skills are a little different than the other guys. And if you watch his high school, he's got that lateral skip cut, where it's a little more violent than some guys. So it immediately catches your attention if you see him press the hole and, bam, make that hard jump cut. You're like, whoa, especially his size. So he's a guy that will catch your eye, one, because of how violent he cuts, and two, the way he's built. Those guys catch your eyes, true freshman, no doubt about it. Somebody asked about Troy Hune. Troy Hune, the 26 quarterback, does have an offer. He was the second quarterback Texas offered in the class. Behind Jared Curtis from Nashville, who committed to Georgia. Dia Bell from American Heritage, son of Rajah Bell, is the third 26 quarterback that has an offer. He was on campus late March, right when spring practice was starting. Another quarterback that will be in town this weekend coming up is Will Griffin, the quarterback out of Tampa, Jesuit. He's a guy that's been on campus before. That's another 26 quarterback Texas really likes. And there's a couple of in-state quarterbacks as well that A.J. Milwee will go out and evaluate during the spring evaluation period, which begins at the end of April.
Let me ask you this, Jerry. You think that Texas could be narrowing in on a commitment from a quarterback? I mean, this is about the time where, I guess, what, a month from now is when K.J. Lacy committed? Arch Manning committed about a year ahead of – I mean, what do you think? Trey Owens, same kind of thing? What are you hearing or thinking right now as it relates to Texas and QB recruiting overall? Like, are you sensing that they're narrowing in on Hune or what?
Yeah, so I think here's the thing. I think a couple of the 26 quarterbacks, they're starting to commit a little earlier maybe than people thought they would. So I think what that's doing, guys, is it's going to speed up the process of some of these 26 quarterbacks. With Jared Curtis committing to Georgia last week, March 23rd, he committed. That kind of changes the calculus a little bit for these guys because they're like, whoa, okay, Georgia's made their pick. One of the top guys is off the board. Obviously, Landon Duckworth, a kid that's highly ranked, committed to South Carolina. He's a guy from Alabama. So two guys who are highly ranked have already committed. Like last year, KJ Lacy committed June 3rd at Texas Elite Camp, right? I'm not sure somebody doesn't kind of move their timeline up a little bit more this year into the spring. It'll be interesting to see if Texas makes a move that early in the spring, but I don't think it's out of the question. Somebody's asked about Keyshawn Henderson. Keyshawn Henderson is an athlete and a tremendous elite athlete. Texas has offered him, legit guy. King Me's at what's Hun's national ranking. He was a first-year starter last year. So I've been one to say his ranking right now doesn't really matter. It's gonna recalculate over time. And good looking kid physically, good on tape. If he's not a top 100 kid in the country, I'll be very surprised when it's all said and done. So somebody said Dorian Brew is on campus as well. I think things are moving with Dorian Brew. Look, there's so many family connections, not Texas with him, but his mom was on campus for the visit with him. It was big to get him back on campus. He hasn't announced his official visit date that I've seen. I expect it to be June 14th through 16th, but we'll wait on him to announce that.
Hey, guys, we have one other super chat that we need to touch on real quick from Justin Yarbrough. Thank you, Justin. He says, have y'all heard anything on Hunter Modden or Chris Ross? Wish those guys the best of luck. guys, go and subscribe and be an OTF OG.
Yeah, so I've heard nothing. I'll be honest, I've heard nothing on either one of those guys. You know, I wish I had something to give you guys, but I don't, especially on Hunter Modden.
Yeah, I don't know that he signed with anyone. And Chris Ross obviously was a former Longhorn that got sideways a little bit and went in the portal. I haven't heard if he's caught on with anyone either.
All right. Well, before we move on to more questions, and by the way, plenty of time to get your questions in, so please do so. Bobby, can you tell folks out there about autographs?
Yeah, all right. We're pumped for the big game in Ann Arbor. And so I want to make this advertising read about that. Autograph is asking if you would like the chance to win $4 tickets to the Big House this fall against Michigan. If so, listen up. Our partner Autograph is dropping a pair of tickets on April 18 at 2:00 Central in their app. All you need to do is download the app and refer one friend successfully from Wednesday, April 3rd to Thursday, April 18 at 11 a.m. Central. For those that are new, Autograph is where real Longhorn fans get unreal rewards by bringing fan content and communities into one place. Autograph is the first app that recognizes and rewards fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. Co-founded by Tom Brady on the belief that devotion should be rewarded and the future fandom belongs to the fans. Scan to download the free Autograph app in the Apple Store and use referral code on Texas. That's referral code on Texas. Join us and see where your fandom takes you, hopefully Ann Arbor, for just $4 a ticket. All you have to do is scan and download, use referral code on Texas.
We want to thank them for sponsoring. Hey,
those tickets are going for 600 plus right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw somebody ask, he was either in this chat or last night, asking about what prices are ranging right now and where to stay in Ann Arbor. The last prices I saw, there's some $600 tickets right now. Now that may go down when Michigan actually puts out its season tickets, but man, that's going to be Alabama was a tough ticket too last year and a big one. So that's going to be similarly situated for the Longhorns.
All right, y'all. Our next question comes from Richard Davis. And he says, do you think with Ricky Stewart committing that we back off on Jordan Davison? Or will that push Davison to Ohio State? And I'm going to add on to that. What's the future at the position now with Stewart in the fold?
Yeah, so look, Texas will love to have both. They were riding on a golf cart together to the scrimmage Saturday. I put a photo of that on texasfootball.com. Now, Texas, look, two-back class is where they want to head with the 25 class. They're going to be swinging on Jordan Davis. And he says, you know, Jordan says some similar things to Jarrett Gibson in the process. Look, eventually, Tashard Choice isn't going to get one of his guys. We'll see when that happens. You're not going to bat 1,000. But I think some of the Ohio State stuff, some of those picks, I don't want to get into the industry too much, but some of those picks generate buzz as much as anything. I'll say that. It's a battle. Not that Ohio State can't win it, not that Texas can't win it. One of those two teams will win it.
All right. And then Scott Knudsen says the LSU crowd is ticked off. They somehow, and maybe rightfully, believe this weekend was the springboard of DeCorian Moore to Texas campaign. The venom was plentiful and ugly, rogue ugly.
Hey, I mean, look, that's recruiting, right? I mean, I don't know what to say. One thing I've always said about DeCorian is a lot of family connections to Texas. I think people are, you know, look at Colin Simmons and say Colin Simmons, DeCorian Moore. I think more important than that, there's a lot of family connections in Austin with the DeCorian. Texas is winning football games again, guys. It's harder to come into the state and just take the top guys when Texas is winning football games. It was a lot easier 7 years ago.
I completely agree with you. Why you don't have to go somewhere else to be on the national stage, right? Your parents can have it all. You can have it all. If Texas is winning football games, a guy from Houston, Dallas, East Texas, West Texas, all parts in between, they don't have to go anywhere else to go be on a big stage. They can be on a big stage in Austin at the state capitol where their parents can go see them play every week. They don't have to go to Alabama or Florida or USC or parts in Ohio State. They're already playing on a big stage. And your parents don't have to pay an arm and a leg to get there every week, right? I mean, it's – Jerry's right. I want to mention this. A lot of people are talking about DeCorian Moore. We need to mention that Rashad Samples apparently took the job at Oregon as the new running backs coach. Rashad is the son of Reggie Samples, the head football coach at Duncanville High School. Now, Rashad's a pretty good recruiter, Jerry. Do you think he might have an impact on DeCorian Moore's future at Oregon, or do you think Moore is just so much a Texas LSU battle at this point that Oregon's going to have a hard time there?
Look, I think they can all make their pitches, but the one similarity I see with Colin Simmons and DeCorian Moore's recruitment, even though Colin was much more outwardly talking about it, I think DeCorian's going to play in the SEC. Now I'll leave it at that.
Got it.
All right, we'll take a wide receiver recruiting question here. This one from Michael, and he says, is it safe to say we have a slight lead for Cleet Lockett coming out of the visit, or do you think it's too early to say?
No, I think Texas is doing well with Cleet. I think they're doing well. I think the academic, athletic component is real in that recruitment. I think developing Cleet has all the national offers. He can go just about anywhere. At the end of the day, he's going to end up at a place that has an academic and athletic component to it and a place that his family has to put a lot of trust, not only in development and football, but development as a young man. And so I think Texas is doing well with Cleet Lockett right now.
Hey, guys, let's jump over to some team-related questions now. And we're going to do this one from E. Kim. He says, good morning from Rockford, Illinois. Are any practices until the spring game open with the media availability?
We have not gotten news yet from that, from the Sports Information Department. So believe us, we will know and let you know as soon as we know. But the hope is yes, but we can't confirm it right now.
And we got a lot of questions regarding various players and how they look. So let's start with this one from Freddie. How is Arch looking? Is there a clear step forward so far?
I'm being told that he's looking strong. He's, you know, the thing that people keep talking about with him, and Jerry, I know you were party to a conversation I had as well. He's just such a better athlete than people recognize. So he's not only throwing the ball well, he is behind Quinn in some areas, clearly, as far as play recognition, et cetera, because he hasn't had the repetition that Quinn has. At the same time, some off-schedule stuff he's doing right now, tucking the ball and running, a little bit better than most people would anticipate. And we first heard about this a year ago, really.
Yeah.
But it's going to be one thing we watch. I do expect us all to see Arch Manning liberally in 2 weeks here at the spring game, April 20th, because I think he's going to get the majority of the snaps. We talked about this last night. Quinn may play only three or four series, Jerry. He's a third-year starter. Quinn doesn't need to play more than three or four series at the spring game. So you're going to get a liberal dose of Arch Manning and Trey Owens at spring game.
Agreed.
And our next question comes from David Keith Williams. He says, Bobby and Jerry, how did Alex January look in the scrimmage Saturday? Did y'all hear anything? I think January will be in the defensive tackle too deep prior to the end of the season.
I heard he looked good. But again, here would be my caveat to that too deep comment. I think Texas is going to go strong for two defensive tackles in the portal. And if they get guys that are 2 and 3 year starters, I don't think Alex will bump the two deep. I do think he might be in the rotation, and he would be in the rotation right now ahead of Sadir Mitchell, which is not a surprise based on our early reporting. We started back about a couple of weeks ago talking about this, but Alex, a lot of people want guys like Ryan Wingo to just come out and be quick. It takes a while at defense. Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy. Those guys are getting ready to go on the first, second, third round, whatever it is. How many plays did they play as a freshman? You know, don't put these guys in situations where they have to be something they're not right out of the gate, even if they're talented. You want to bring them along the right way. And I think that Alex January doesn't need to be playing too many snaps where he's going to be overwhelmed. And I'm not saying that he's going to be overwhelmed is the wrong word, but man, let these guys grow up at the right speed.
By the way, we've had a couple of spring game questions. Yes. Kickoff 1 p.m. How do we get into spring game? The other question.
You literally just walk in the front door. You know, you can walk in any entryway. It's going to be open, is my understanding. I would tell you this from years past, sit on the side. If it's cold on the spring game and windy, sit on the side with the sun. And if it's not cold and windy, sit on the side in the shade with the overhang. That's why I don't say, I'm going to be on this side or that side until the day of the game. Because I've been to a spring game that's cold and windy, and I want to be in the sun as much as possible. I've been one last year, was extremely hot. I wanted to be underneath the overhang so I could be in the shade.
Roger G said, after this weekend, am I close to putting in any recruiting predictions on TexasFootball.com? I just put out a story this morning with some percentages on guys.
And, hey, great time to mention one more time. Bobby, can you explain the OTFOG here and let folks know about that? Because we've had a lot of people join since we last talked about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, long story short, OTFOG at On Texas Football, it's a new subscription service we've just started. We have, just like a lot of sites, trying to make sure that we have the money to survive and move forward. OnTexasFootball.com. Right now, we have a special. If you sign up and you are an annual member, click on all you have to do is use the coupon code OTFOG, and you will get $20 off instead of $59.95 a year or $5.95 a month. It's only $39.95 a year. It's $20 off if you're an OTFOG. We appreciate you guys and what y'all bring and everything that we've done here, and hope that you guys are able to join us and make become an OTF OG.
Hey, Ryan Nelson's question there. You were about to bring it up, weren't you, Blake?
Love it. So he says, Bobby and Jerry, thoughts on spring games in the future being a scrimmage against an FCS team?
I love the idea. I think there's some negatives with it, but I actually love the idea. Now, the question would be, do you lose reps within your own team playing a spring game against an opponent? That would be the one thing I would say. The reason I do like it, as long as, you know, the quarterbacks are protected, right? I mean, you don't want a Texas State guy making their name for hitting a quarterback in a green or red jersey, right, and knocking him out. That's not what you want. But from a pure football standpoint, I like the idea. Bobby, if you're an FCS school, do you like the idea, though? You're putting your guys on parade.
Yeah, you get the guy, like, think about it. You play Sam Houston. Well, Sam Houston State's getting ready to be D1. But say you play, I don't know, Incarnate Word, right? And Incarnate Word had Cam Ward as quarterback a couple years ago, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, that quarterback looks better than the quarterback you got. You're going to go cherry picking, right, in the portal. But I do like the idea of playing different opponents in the spring and moving those things around. I think it's going to be possible as soon as the NCAA stops pretending that some of these athletes aren't owed money from, you know, broadcasts or et cetera. That I read another article this morning, by the way, guys. The idea that college football players aren't going to be paid for their broadcast NIL, not just their NIL, but their actual broadcast NIL, I think that's going to come to a close in the next year to 2 years based on current litigation. And so that could fundamentally change how players are compensated. It could be send a ripple effect through NIL in general about what's going on right now, because obviously some teams are going to get more. Some teams are going to be paid more. And so they'll be able to pass along more money to their players. Texas, with its perennially high television ratings, obviously would be one of those, plus their affiliation with the SEC that's so lucrative. I mean, it all points to Texas coming out on top of the heap. But my point being, it could fundamentally change all of NIL if they start giving broadcast dollars to players. And that could impact what they're able to do in the off season, because then the players would be more willing and should be more willing, and vice versa, as well as the coaches, to make more money via broadcast. You could broadcast theoretically a scrimmage with Incarnate Word, just like the Houston Texans broadcast a preseason game with the New Orleans Saints. Why not? If it's the second and third team, people would still watch it. It wouldn't be as much as the big thing, you know, the real games, but people would watch it. It's better than some of the stuff I've been watching on TV the last month.
All right. We got another NIL question here. Bobby, I'll let you answer this one. Tom Doyle says, I just had a question about NIL. If a kid receives an NIL deal and receives money for whatever deal he makes, and he leaves the school early, do they have to return all of it, most of it, part of it? How does that work?
Zero of it. The player cannot be financially tied to the NIL deal cannot be financially tied to the institution itself. And what I mean by that is it has to be straight for his name, image, and likeness, regardless of where he goes to school. So that was one of the things that a lot of people are getting caught up in. For instance, the University of Tennessee tried to say, well, we own all his, not the university, but a collective associated with the university. We own all of his NIL rights. And so if he goes somewhere else, then that firm or that company has to pay us for his NIL rights. That's one of the things that really got sideways with the NCAA. But as of right now, NIL is not tied to the school you go to. So what you'll see, frankly, is you'll see in a lot of NIL deals outside the windows of the portal. So April 15th, the portal opens a week from today. Okay. Well, it closes May 15th. I guarantee you there are some NIL deals that get done May 16th. So that the window closes. They can't go somewhere else before fall practice or before the season. So just keep that in mind. That's kind of the behind the scenes machinations.
Hey, I wanted to give a shout out. Noah Ellis's brother, he mentioned this on the chat. We got to give him a shout out. Jacob Ellis, 9-inning no-hitter for Lamar University against McNeese. And then out of the bullpen, Austin Neal, 2 innings no-hit baseball, 11 innings no-hit baseball, and a win over McNeese. Shout out to Jacob Ellis. Good job.
Congrats to your brother. Awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome to hear.
That somebody asked awesome. About Smith or Ogbo. I think if Texas makes a big push, I think they're in a really good spot with the Ogbo.
You know what else was awesome? The Rangers beating the Astros 2 out of 3 games.
Hey, yeah, don't do that. We got just as many Astros fans here as we do Rangers.
I had to get one in. All right, guys. Bobby, you were talking about the portal.
Just I'd like to trade our GM right now. No, I'll say that. Not excited with what he did this offseason.
Yeah. Kelly at Horns Up says, with the portal opening in a few days, any more update on which defensive tackles will be available that Texas will be interested in?
Well, I think the two that everybody's pointing to are one's from Michigan, Kenneth Grant. The other's the defensive lineman out of UCLA. Are they both going to be available? That is the single largest question, I think. Not whether or not Texas and everybody else in college football will be interested. I'm telling you right now, the guy from Michigan – everybody in the country would take him tomorrow.
This is the whole key with the portal. If the guys go in the portal, do they go in with the no contact box check? If they do, good news. If not, negotiation on.
Hey, can y'all
it's more than just in the portal. It's whether you have click check that no contact box or not.
And can Jerry explain that just a little more in depth for people that don't know what that exactly is?
Yeah. So essentially, if you go in the portal and you click the and you check the box no contact, you're done. You're not going to talk to any other college coaches. You're done. Everybody's going to know you know where you're going, and it's over. If you don't have that box clicked, then you're going to start talking, or you or your representatives are going to start talking to everybody. But if you have that box checked, then the people that would love to pursue you know it is not happening.
All right. And, Bobby, it's time for you to tell folks out there about John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group.
Yeah, April is National Financial Literacy Month, and John and his firm want to encourage all of the On Texas football family to take advantage of the free resources available through the Financial Planning Association and certified financial planners nationwide. to help educate you and your families on all aspects of financial planning and risk management. John's a certified financial planner who has spent more than 15 years teaching continuing financial education courses to adults at local colleges. He's a guest lecturer at the UT Dallas Jindal School of Management. He would welcome the opportunity to be a resource to provide that education to all of you as well. He's dedicated his firm to serving his fellow UT alums and all UT employees, fans, as well as their family and friends. Take advantage of John's 30 years of applying his CFP fiduciary responsibilities to educate and serve his clients in the areas of investment planning, retirement, insurance planning, and estate planning. Simply give John and the Longhorn Wealth team a call at 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net.
Okay. Well, we had, you know, we're going to back up a few weeks here. We had the On Texas Football Bracket Challenge recently, guys, and obviously it's still ongoing, but two people have set themselves on the top here, and I believe CTJ's Empathy is close to jumping, that we see all the time on the board, and then of course here and there. He's tied for number one with ESPN Fan, a whole bunch of numbers picks. I don't know who that is exactly. Both of these guys, though, with 1,150 points and with a max of 1,470. However, there's a little deal here that I found from ESPN, and they analyzed both of these brackets, and it looks like Close to Jumping has an edge over ESPN Fans' picks. They think, anyway, they're giving him a 50.2% chance to win over the 49.8.
Well, here's the deal. He's got Purdue to win. So if Purdue wins, he wins. If Connecticut wins, it looks like ESPN Fan, the number there. By the way, thanks to 40 Acres Collective, great Texas Longhorn gear. They're giving $200 to the winner, a $200 gift certificate to the winner. Yeah, so I hope that either of those two come out ahead, and we'll be able to take care of them a little bit for participating.
That's all I got to say is Alabama played really, really well against UConn and gave up 86 and lost by 14. And I am picking UConn. It'll be the last game of Zach Edey's college career, who's closer to being Boban without personality as an NBA player rather than a really good NBA player. I think UConn's going to win. They're the most complete team. They're the best team. Maybe if Donovan Klingon gets four fouls in the first 6 minutes because of the way Edey's refed in this college game, which I can't explain, then Purdue can win the game. But UConn's the better team. UConn should win the game. Because Alabama played really well and still lost by 14.
Well, whoever's bracket that is, I'm sure they're hoping that you are correct there so they can walk away with that prize from 40 Acres Apparel. I want to thank them one more time. And, guys, we got time for a few more questions here. So we're going to take this one from Rob. And he says, how is Parker Livingstone doing? Do you have any update on him?
Somebody mentioned Parker as playing well in Saturday's scrimmage. I have not heard that he's just – I will add this. I just think that it's going to be rare these days for a true freshman, really rare, for a true freshman to make a big mark at Texas. Okay? And I'm not trying to diminish his ability as a player long-term, because I think he's got a good amount of upside and he's proving that a little early. It's just this. Look, he's behind Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, and Jontae Cook, as well as Ryan Wingo. So, and DeAndre Moore is still trying to put his name in the hat there. So I just think it's going to be hard for him to really stand out. Plus, we haven't seen much live scrimmage work ourselves. So until we do that, it's hard for us to really comment, because that's not a name that just comes up automatically.
Roger G's got a good question. Hune compared to Diabel, the 226 quarterback offers out right now. I think it's a good question. So Troy Hune's a really strong, very high-end pocket passer, but he's got good feet. When I say pocket passer, that doesn't mean he's a statue at all. Troy Hune, he's basketball background, right? His mom's a AAU basketball coach, high school basketball coach, has sister playing college basketball. By the way, transferred to UT Rio Grande Valley from Miami of Ohio. Just something to free all the put away there on that one. But he's got basketball feet, played a lot of basketball, got quick feet for a big kid, but he's still more of a pocket passer. He can make all the throws. Diabel can make all the throws. Diabel does more stuff outside the pocket off schedule. Both tremendous prospects. I mean, you're talking about two of the top 5-6 quarterbacks in the country in the 26 class. So I don't think personally, I think when you're recruiting at that level, I'm not sure you can really go wrong with either guy. I think they're both very talented, but they are different. They have different strengths.
Okay, guys, we're going to do one last question here, and it's actually from Roger G. I know you just answered one of his questions, Jerry, but he says, if Wingo breaks into the starting trio of receivers, who do y'all think he would take snaps from?
Man, Jonte Cook, Isaiah Bond. I mean, those would be Matthew Golden, maybe. Those would be the candidates. I don't know that he's going to break into the starting rotation, though. I think that, to Jerry's point, he said this earlier, his biggest issue is not going to be athleticism or ability. It's going to be knowing all the plays, knowing when to line up on the line of scrimmage versus off, knowing the pre-snap motions and getting there in time. If he is doing those sorts of things well, which I have not heard, I've heard he's making impressive plays on the field, right? And those are two slightly different things. I want to see what he does in the spring game to see if he's picking up on all those little things that will allow the offense to really click and be on time.
Yeah.
But we're hearing great things about his play on the field, not necessarily his pre-snap stuff.
And that's not that we're hearing anything bad. We just have
right. Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. We want to thank them for sponsoring today's show along with Gooder and Autograph. And one more time, Bobby Burton, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about becoming an OTFOG.
Yes, absolutely. OTFOG. We have a premium website that you guys can join on ontexasfootball.com. Use coupon code OTFOG, no space in there, OTFOG, and you'll get $20 off an annual subscription. So what is either $5.95 a month or $59.95 annually, if you use the coupon code OTFOG, it becomes just $39.95 a year. So do that. I hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll see you over on Texas Football, as well as a number of different videos we got coming here today.
I want to hit Naaman Roberts' question real quick. Great morning, fellas. Jerry, what do you think about Duncanville going 1, 2, 3 and 100 meter dash? Because I didn't get a chance to talk about it, and I want to. I was at the prelims for that district meet on Wednesday last week. And here's what I'll say about Duncanville speed. If you make North Shore look slow, you are extremely fast. I mean, that's not like the best compliment I can give Duncanville, but I'm not surprised. I mean, look, DeCorian ran 10-4 in the prelim. It was downwind, the same heat that Elijah Barnes ran 10.96 at 2:30, by the way. But Duncanville, I mean, their JV track team looked really fast. The pipeline's going nowhere with Duncanville. They got the most speed in the state right now.
So I got to ask before we get out of here, you guys are going to be checking out the Eclipse. Jerry, you getting linking up with Tyler Owens, checking out the Eclipse? Well,
Tyler Owens is going to be laying flat on a surface somewhere on the flat earth for the Eclipse.
Doesn't believe
my wife's got glasses. My wife got those funky glasses. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be using those for about 5 minutes today.
I'm going to use my Gooders, guys.
I don't know if you're supposed to do that, Jerry.
These Gooders can get they'll take me anywhere.
It's not an endorsement for Gooder glasses being Eclipse glasses, by the way.
Just don't try the Lawnmower 5.0 during the Eclipse. That might not go so well. Just try it any other time.
There you go. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for the super chats. As Bobby said, head on over to ontexasfootball.com. Become an OTFOG with that promo code OTFOG as well. And for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.